Well, I am. I'm still up and awake and monitoring. Anybody out there?
1 ABH.
1 CBX. K4OIM. Name's Walt here.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure how good I'm getting in. It's K1ABH, Kilo 1, Alpha Bravo Hotel.
ABH, you're in it 100%. No white noise or nothing. Up here at Inman on Lake Bowen. K1ABH, K4OIM.
Just 1 second, I'm going to write your call sign down before I forget it. K4OIM, yeah, this is Andrew. I'm down in Anderson, kind of, I guess the best landmark I could give you is T.O. Hanna High School, real close to there.
Know where that is. Back to, I was a heavy equipment operator back before I retired, and I've done a lot of work down there around Anderson and Easley. I'm up here on Lake Bowen. Still got an Inman address, but I'm actually 2 miles from the North Carolina-South Carolina line, Andrew. And I don't know if I told you or not, but the name's Walt here.
All right, Walt. Yeah, I'm not very familiar with Inman. I've never been, or really any of Spartanburg County. I used to work for Granville County, so I'm familiar with being up that high, but Landrum's about as far over as I've been when getting up around the state line.
And do you know where Lake Bowen is?
Not, you know, being from Anderson, we got Lake Hartwell, and I've been to Joe Cassie once or twice, but outside of that, we pretty much spend all our time on Lake Hartwell if it comes to lake activities.
At my shack, look out the window and look at the water, but with my daughter and my grandson and I go camping and anything, we always go to Lake Hartwell. I'm 70, almost 74 years old, and I had a stroke a little of 3 years ago this past September. Fell out the door of my shack, broke my neck, and I bought this 32-foot pull-behind camper just a few weeks before I had the accident or had the stroke, and I had to move in with my daughter and my, well, he was 3-year-old, 2-year-old then, grandson, and I pretty much gutted the living room and kitchen out. I got my ham shack in here, and I don't know, it's about 40 feet. I usually stay down here at 11 or 12 o'clock on the radio, either on 2 meters or on the HF. And by the way, we have a net here every night at 9 o'clock. And I am one of the NCSs on Tuesday night. I call the net. And after the net, I have a round table for any of the newbies or some of the old timers that's got the questions about radios, antennas, or anything to do with radio or computers. There's usually somebody here that can answer your questions, Andrew. Back to you, K1ABH, K4OIM.
I've listened to the net quite a bit. I honestly, usually if I'm, I've got a 50-watt radio and a diamond antenna that's up about 30 feet at the house, and, you know, I can easily hit most anything around here from there, but I'm almost never there during the nets. I'm usually, I work for the sheriff's office here in Anderson, and so I'm usually in a vehicle when the net comes around, and so I just recently got me a lip mount to put on the trunk and a little short, 26-inch antenna to put on my trunk that I can just kind of easily take up for put up and take down, depending on who I'm going to be around or whatever, because I'm not sure how they feel about me putting an antenna on my vehicle. But yeah, I'm just running off a 5-watt HT, and I honestly have never checked into the net just because I didn't think I would be able to hit this repeater that good. But when I heard you put the call out, I figured I'd give it a shot and see how I got in.
100%. And how have you been in law enforcement? I have three nephews that are in law enforcement. One of them is, he works for the city of Malden. And then I've got two that are narcotic. Wait a minute, let me get this straight. I got two that's narcotic agents in Spartanburg County, two in narcotics in Greenville County, and one sheriff deputy in Honeyapath. And I tease them all the time. Well, they tease me more than I tease them, but I really appreciate anybody that steps up and be a police officer now. The way things are going, everything is anti-law. Back to you, Andrew.
I've been in it for going on 8 years now. Seven of that was at Greenville County, so I'm sure whoever you got working at Greenville County, I know them quite well. I was at Anderson County for a brief period before I went to Greenville County, and then I just moved back to Anderson County about 3 months ago. But yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Greenville County, and yeah, I'm trying to think if I might would know who you got in narcotics in Greenville County. I know they've got a lot of moving around here lately, so and there's a lot of changes that have happened. You know, law enforcement's one of those things where everybody comes in young and fresh, and all the older ones move out all at one time. So I know Greenville County in my last year or two there, the platoon that I was on changed 100% just in the time that I left.
I have another nephew died from a drug overdose about 2 months ago, and that doggone fentanyl, he thought he had bought Valium. He thought he had bought Valium, yeah, because he had run out of his prescription, and he bought some Valium off the street, and it was laced with fentanyl, and he OD'd. But do you know the officer Jeff Hines? At my nephew's funeral, I learned that Jeff went to DEA, and he's working. He said he could go anywhere from Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, Honeyapath, but he's mostly working Anderson and Honeyapath now. I think he made lieutenant.
Jeff Hines. I know a Lieutenant Chris Hines at Greenville County.
Others.
Yeah, I know Chris. I don't know Jeff.
Been got up there now to where you know how it is. They don't tell you everything about what they're doing, and I understand that and about where they're working at, but. And it takes a lot of courage now to be in law enforcement.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm actually looking into looking into other career fields. I've gotten to a point where I don't know if it's worth continuing on. I got a 4 and 2 year old, and we don't live frivolously by any means, and it's still barely pays the bills and has a little left over, so I got a 4-year degree, and it's just kind of, it's getting very hard to justify staying in it.
I saw today on the internet where they gonna make it mandatory that all law enforcement officers have to have the COVID shot, which I've had mine. I had COVID a year and a half ago. And to me, the flu was worse than the COVID, but I had a mild case of it, they said. But I don't know whether, I don't know what to think about making it mandatory that you have to have the shot. But I saw that today on the internet where there's a lot of law enforcement leaving because of the shot. And like you say, law enforcement, the fire department, and all of you are way underpaid for what y'all do and the knowledge y'all have to have. You have to have as much knowledge about the law as a lawyer does.
That's why I get aggravated every time somebody, you know, they bring up some law or something that I may not be familiar with, and they give me this look, and they always make the comment, well, you don't know the law, and I'm like, well, you know, I got a crash course in a 12-week program at the academy, but I didn't go to law school, so I pretty much have to make myself vaguely familiar with a little bit of everything, and then I look up what I can.
Now, you get into the repeater on the HT. You got just a little white noise. I mean, it's barely noticeable. But, man, I can't believe that.
I got me a little, it's a Yaesu FT3. And it's running off of, I got one of those Diamond K400 trunk lip mounts. And it's hooked up to my trunk back there, and I've got I believe it's a Comet SS460 antenna, little 26-inch. And I've got a Larson 2x70 on my main personal vehicle, and everybody swears by it, but man, this Comet antenna has done wonderful from what I've seen. And like I say, I'm just as surprised as you were. Like I say, I didn't want to try and butt in on a net and go through the issue of nobody could hear me and all that mess. So, like I say, I heard the channel was quiet and you put out a call sign, so I figured I'd give it a shot, and no one was more surprised than I.
But yeah, I was sitting down here and somebody threw a call out, and I went back to him, and this guy was just like he was sitting here in the room next to me, and he was in Kingsport, Tennessee. And we probably talked for 30 or 45 minutes. And then when we finally signed clear, I mean, he was still perfectly readable. But the sunspot cycle is starting to go up now. And the propagation is a whole lot better. And how'd you get that K1 call?
It was a vanity call. I did it. I just got my tech license in July. I kind of been messing around with ham radio stuff and learning about it since January. And my old work schedule, I just never could get a test scheduled. And so I've kind of been into the hobby for, you know, going on 9 months now, but I've only had my license for since July. And when I first got my call, it was KO4RSN. And when I first got it, I thought, man, this is terrible. I'm never going to remember this. And so I'd already, you know, looked into vanity calls, and I was like, I'm going to do something with my initials in it. And, man, I kind of regret it now, because by the time that I got the vanity call or got around to getting it, KO4RSN just kind of came off my tongue. And when I got my vanity call, I couldn't hardly remember it for wanting to call my original. So I kind of wish I'd have kept my original.
Ever get you, well, you can still, I don't know if you're interested or not, but you really need to learn CW. You need to learn code. And that RSN, boy, and that would have been an easy one. It's like my call, K4OIM. The prefix of it is da-da-da, nit-nit, da-da. And yours would have been nit-da-dit, nit-nit-dit, da-da. I mean, that was a... For somebody receiving it, they would love that call, Andrew. When I was 13 years old, I lived with my grandmother because my grandpa was in bad health. And my next door neighbor was a ham operator, L.V. Fortner. And he got me interested in ham radio. And his call sign was K4OIM. And I got my novice ticket in 1978. And at that time, you had to know 5 words per minute. And I swore I'd never use Morse code once I got that novice ticket. I could use phone privileges only on 10 meters from 28.3 to 28.5. And I got used to the code, and I kept that novice ticket for 40 years. 3 years ago, when I broke my neck and had to move in with my daughter, she said, "Daddy, when you gonna upgrade?" I listened to 2 meters, and they had the license exam over at Greenville at Red Cross Building that weekend. I went over there. I hadn't studied a book or nothing. I went there and took the test just to see what I needed to study. And I'm doggone, I passed my technician class. And I called Don Fortner, that was my mentor's son, and I told him, I said, "Listen, I'd like for you to talk to your brothers and sisters because I want to apply for a vanity call, and I want your daddy's call sign because he's been dead now 20 years. And the next day, Don called me and told me, he said, "Walt, we'd really appreciate if you'd carry on our daddy's call." So my call is a vanity call, Q04 Oscar India Mike. And I didn't realize when I'd done it what that was, how easy it was on code, the OIM. Yeah, I mean, it's unreal. And congratulations on getting your technician class. Are you studying now to get your general?
K1ABH for ID. I've started looking into general. When I first got my tech, I mean, with all the stuff out there for tech now, it's like drinking from a fire hose. And when I first started, you know, kind of dabbling in it, let's see, it was probably December, January, I bought my first. I just got a Baofeng off of Amazon, and I more or less got it. You know, being in law enforcement and stuff, I kind of dabble in the prepping stuff, and so I got it more or less for that, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and I started seeing stuff about ham licenses. Never intended to get my ham license. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and I started, you know, kind of, I was like, well, I'll look into it and see, you know, what it's all about. And ever since I've started looking into it, I've never been more addicted to anything in my life. So the tech stuff is, you know, I imagine it's probably a lot different than it used to be, just with the whole digital world. And like I say, when I first was studying, I downloaded some apps to try and learn CW, and I won't say I gave up on it because I do intend to learn it, but with all the other stuff out there, I kind of set it aside for a minute because it is all like drinking from a fire hose right now. But yeah, I'm getting to a point now to where I do, you know, just hear another guy talk about the low band stuff, I do want to get on HF some. And I know I can do 10 meters, but I think I want to start dabbling in the other HF stuff.
Damn Friday. Andrew on Tuesday night, after I call the net and go through the rag chute portion and close the net out, I have what we call a round table for all the new guys and girls that have got their ticket, got their technician, and some of them got the general, believe it or not. I've got one guy, KO4NUE, Chad up in Capabella. He is learning about antennas. He went and got his general and his wife it's been about 6 weeks ago. His wife went and got her tech, and his daughter is studying to get her technician license. But in the round table, I have guys that stick around that knows computers, knows antennas, knows about repeaters and everything. I mean, I don't know at all. I've been in this 43 years. And it's just a fun thing. A lot of people are scared to check into the net. They're embarrassed, afraid they will mess up or do something wrong. But when I have the round table, it's just informal. You can jump in and ask a question or listen. I'd like to invite you to check in, not just because I called the net on Tuesday night, but then on Wednesday night, KI4DOS, Gary over there in Easley, he calls the net. And after he goes through the roll call, he has a swap net where if you want to buy, sell, or trade radio equipment, he's got that. And me, I work on what they call boat anchors, low tube type radios. I'm sitting here with 8 10-year in my radio room now that I've got two of them at work. The rest of them I repair, waiting on parts because it's hard to get parts now because everything's coming out of China. And it's a never-ending learning process, Andrew. K1 ABH, K4 OAM.
Well, now, like I say, now that I know I can get into this repeater even on just 5 watts, I'll definitely be tuning into y'all's channel a lot more. I know during the day, this is a very active channel, and I'm sitting at home on my days off, or like I say, right now I'm on night shift, so even on the days that I work, you know, I'm at home during the day, and our repeater down here in Anderson, it gets some activity, and there's one guy that I talked to a good bit, John, it's WN2W, it's his call. He lives just right down the road from me, and, you know, we talk a good bit, but outside of that, you know, there's almost nobody on our repeater down here in Anderson, but this repeater I hear constantly people talking, so I've gotten to where I do tune in a little bit during the day. But like I say, now that I know I can hit it from my vehicle, even on just 5 watts, I'll definitely be on it a lot more. But, Walt, I just got a call. I got to head down to Belton. So I'm going to take off for the night. I definitely appreciate talking to you. And it was, like I say, I'm glad to know I got me a new repeater in my book.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. And, yeah, you make a repeater fine. And, go ahead and take your call, 73s, good night, and thank you for your service, sir.
I appreciate it, sir. 73 to you as well. K4 OIM, K1 ABH.
OIM, I'm clear.
Hello, Wasp. 4, Tango Juliet, Quebec.
I missed the call sign. I wasn't ready for it. I reached over here to pick up my Pepsi, K4OM, but the other station. Go ahead.
Kilo Oscar 4, Tango Juliet, Quebec. Good evening.
Mayor. Name here is Walt. Go ahead.
This is Mr. Black. Good evening to you, sir. Transmitting from the foothills of Temple Rock, Palmetto Cove RV Park.
Up there close to KI4LZI, Mr. Andy. He's up there right at the base of Table Rock. Have you checked into the net before?
And you owner of a technician class, this is the first time, period.
Well, welcome to Ham Radio. You've done opened up a whole can of worms that you'll never get to the bottom of.
Well, my better half has found the can, and that's what I'm afraid of.
The QRZ website, I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, and they said the average cost to get into ham radio was $1,200. And I said, oh my God, that's unreal. You can get into ham radio now for the bio thing, you can get import to it for $29. But when you upgrade from a technician to a general to get a HF radio, oh boy, they can cost some money. Like that ICOM 7300 is about $1,200 by itself. Then you got to get your antenna and all the accessories you want to go with it. And I started out, I built my own radio equipment. This stuff now, you can't work on it. You got to send it back to the factory if something goes wrong. But I've got a room full of those, what they call boat anchors, those tube-type radio equipment that just sounds a whole lot better than what I'm talking on now. I didn't catch the name. What was the name there? I got the call sign road there, KO4TJQ, K4OIM. The name's Walt.
Walt, first name, Johnny. I was fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough, however you want to look at it, from being pushed into or convinced that I should get into the hobby more than I have. And when I was looking at equipment, I found a ad from a Silent Keys widow, and she had a whole lot of equipment, and I was fortunate enough to purchase all of it from her. But what I'm transmitting on now is from a brand new Yaesu handheld, and we are camping this weekend, and this is the first opportunity that I've had to transmit. So we are in the process of learning, as like your former contact.
You're getting in the repeater. I mean, absolutely perfect. And like I was telling the other contact, we have a net here every night at 9 o'clock. It's a different net controller each night. And I called the net on Tuesday night. And after I close the net out, I have what we call a round table for all the new hams that are embarrassed or scared to pick the mic up and check into the net. I have them, they have finally checked in with me. We got guys that are really have the knowledge on computers, antennas, radios, propagation, and they always chime in and answer the questions that the new hams have to ask. And I've got this guy, KO4NUE, Chad, over in Campobello. He just got his license about 3 months ago, and then he upgraded to a general, and his wife just got her technician license, and they have stepped up and volunteered to be net control operators. And Chad is a member of the Thermal Belt Club up in Tryon, and he is checking in with the net on Tuesday night, and he's got new hams up there in North Carolina that's asking questions, and they are bashful or ashamed to ask. And he writes the questions down, and he asks them on Tuesday night. So we are teaching teachers. That's the way I look at it. I've been in ham radio 43 years, and, well, I've been licensed 43 years, but I don't know everything, and everybody that checks into the net don't know everything, but I guarantee you we know more than a technician will. And I can't believe that I've had two, what we call newbies, talk to me tonight. Did you even listen at 9 o'clock when the net started, Josh? Ain't hard for me to remember that name, my little 5-year-old grandson that I live with. His name's Josh. KO4, TJQ, K4, OAM.
KO4, TJQ is Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y. And I am no stranger to communications, having retired from state law enforcement. I have been communicating for years, and our first radio was in the low band section, 42.040, I believe, was our one frequency here in the upstate, and we could communicate with shrimping trawlers in Japan, as well as the California Highway Patrol, when the weather was correct. So, yes, I have heard you. I have been monitoring for a while, but tonight was the first time that I have transmitted, and thus far I'm enjoying it. I live in Campobello, but we are camping this weekend right here at the foothills of Table Rock.
How in the world did I end up talking to two new hams tonight? And both of them in law enforcement. He was listening to me talking to the other guy. You heard me say I've got 5 nephews in law enforcement. And I'd like to thank you for your service, sir. But I don't live too far from you. I'm over here at Lake Bowen. And Campobello is, I don't know, if I go out here and hit Compton Bridge Road, it's about a mile up to Highway 11, and then about 2 miles over to Campobello. So we're not far apart as far as our base station. Do you have a base station yet?
For Tango Juliet, Quebec. That is affirmative, sir. I was fortunate enough to pick up a Kenwood Tango Sierra 2000, TS-2000, from a Silent Keys widow who had been transmitting from Inman for quite some time. And it will be up and running. The antenna came in yesterday. I should have that up and running pretty soon. and another gentleman, I cannot remember his call sign, it is November Uniform 8 Echo, I do believe, first name Matt, over in the Inman area. He has been to the compound and has lended lots of advice. So yes, we are very, very close. Would love to have you to the compound. I missed your first portion there.
Where is the compound at, sir?
We are located on the border of Spartanburg and Greenville County, right off of Jug Factory Road.
We're there next to CAD, KO4NUE, and I cannot remember Anna's call sign, KO4RYP, I think it is. CAD is retired military, and he's got a machine shop over there where he rebuilds engines. I'm talking about antique engines. He's got an 08-cylinder, inline 8-cylinder Packard engine in there now he's working on. And my daughter, I have a stroke 3 years ago and fell and broke my neck. And my daughter made me move in with her and my grandson, and we lived over there off of Jug Factory Road on Gibson Oak Trail, and she had bought that place and made payments on the house for 2 years, and she was at work one day and somebody went to came to the door. I was babysitting my little grandson, and this guy said, "What are y'all doing in my house?" Come to find out, the guy she bought the house from owned the house, but he had bought the land on credit, and this guy took him to court and gave us, they came back, he gave us 10 days to get out. And we moved over over here to Inman within 10 days into a really dumpy mobile home park. And then we found this place up here at Lake Bowen. And we've been up here about 8 months now. I'm not very, very far. I'm probably 5 miles from where you live. 5-6 at the most.
I am somewhat familiar with the other end of Jug Factory. I am sorry to hear about the situation, but I am learning about ham and was fortunate enough to buy this equipment from a silent ham out of Inman that consisted of the Kenwood Tango Sierra 2000. Several power supplies, a 60-foot tower, and 2,000 feet of coax. So we are getting there.
First got into ham, I built my own equipment. But that's why I got all these boat anchors in here. I love working on the old cube type. I'm talking to you on a Yaesu CPU 2500R. That is one of the first 2-meter radios that come out with a CPU board in it, computerized. And I got it in a South Kia estate sale. I hate going to them because I feel like I'm robbing the dead. I went to one yesterday over in Easley. I've got an old Yaesu FT221R 2-meter base station in here, and I've been wanting an old D104 microphone to go with it. And on eBay, them things are selling anywhere from $100 to $150 a piece. And I bought this one. I mean, it looks like it was just took out of the box for $25. And I bought a, I don't know if you know what a Variac is. That's a transformer. But this old tube type equipment, you can't just plug them right straight into 110 if they hadn't been turned on in years. You have to bring the voltage up on that. I bought one of those there, and then I bought a cabinet full of, a metal cabinet full of resistors, and then I bought a TX-302 receiver, and if I hadn't bought it at those prices, somebody else would have bought it, but I'm trying to think of the silent key. I know she was going to have a yard sale up, estate sale up here in Edmond, but I'm trying to think it was who it was that passed away. I know I called Annette on Tuesday night, and here lately, I'd say within the last three months, we've had five members of the club pass away, silent keys. And when somebody don't check into the net, I usually know who's going to check in. And every once in a while, I have some new ones check in. But when somebody don't check in, I'll look them up on QRZ, or either I've got their phone number in my phone, I call to check on them, Johnny. All the net controllers would like to hear you check into the net on any night. We got it's a net every night at 9 o'clock, different net controller each night. And, really proud of you stepping up and getting your technician license. Are you studying for your general?
Tango Oscar 4. Correction, Kilo Oscar 4, Tango Juliet, Quebec. That is affirmative, sir. I am studying for the general as we speak, and the silent key that my equipment came from, his last name was Kendall. That is Kilo Echo November D Delta Alpha Lima. I'm pretty sure that is the correct pronunciation of his last name. And I am transmitting tonight from a Yazoo Foxtrot Tango 5 D Delta R Romeo FT5 DR. And yes, she had a yard sale, so you were probably familiar with the same silent key. And in speaking with her, she has another friend who is retired from Spartanburg law enforcement. I do not know his call sign, but his last name is Loftus Lima Oscar Foxtrot Tango India Sierra Loftus. And he is also a Masonic brother such as myself, and he has kind of helped spur me along in this, what should we say, expensive hobby.
Are you joining any clubs yet? After I broke my neck, my eyesight's getting bad. I got to go to the 13th and get a cataract took off the left eye, and then go back in November the 3rd and get one took off my right eye. But I've been talking on this repeater 3 years, I guess, and it belongs to the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. And they had this lady, I can't recall her call sign, Miss Karen, that lived up in Columbus. And she called the net on Tuesday night. And something happened to her radio, and she couldn't call the net. And I had what they call mic fright. I was scared to get on the radio. I used CW. And for some reason, Robert Wagner was calling the net manager then, WR4RW. And I stepped up. I said, "Robert, if Miss Terran ain't gonna call net, I'd like to give it a shot." And what they call shadow people, for about a month, I'd sit here and listen to the net and write the call sign down, their name, and where they were at. And next thing I knowed, it was my night to call the net. And I thought, what in the world have I got myself into? But I have really, really enjoyed calling the net. And I guess you can tell now I'm over the mic fight part of it. But as far as clubs, I felt guilty for using the repeater and not being a member of the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. But they made it to Greenville Red Cross building on Grove Road, right across in front of the Greenville VA, right down one block away from Prisma Health in Greenville. But that's too far for me to drive because I can't see that good at night. But I'm joined the Greer Amateur Club. It's up there on 290, about a mile out of Greer, going toward Duncan. And we meet in the Woodman of the World Lodge there. And I'd like to invite you to come up and join either club, or you don't have to join, just show up. And the Greer Club, we have courses on get your technician, or your general, or your extra, and CW classes. We have classes on antennas, and classes on building QRP stations, and directional finding antennas. It's just a continuing learning process, Johnny. KO4TGQK4, OIM.
Oscar 4TJQ. Thank you for your invitation. I have been looking, and no, I am not a member of any club at this point. I have monitored the Blue Ridge repeater for quite some time, long before even taking my technician exam. One of your club members out of Greer, his first name Matt, I do not recall his call sign. He is from Germany, very, very, very smart fellow. I have enjoyed talking with him. He has been my quasi Elmer, has talked to me about antennas and my tower placement. I am fortunate enough to have a house on 50 acres, but the senior warden of said 50 acres is, I guess, 70% of the controlling factor of my antenna farm. We have a beautiful view of the mountains, and I like that. I would like to have antennas for everything from technician, general, to amateur extra. And we would get to that point one step at a time. But I do not want to obscure our view of our mountains with antennas. However, I will say that our ASL above sea level, our elevation is at 987 feet, so I am fortunate with that. And when I get back to the house tomorrow, I will start working on a temporary replacement my 2 meter and 70 SCM Charlie Mike antenna for those privileges. Over.
GTQ, K4OIM. Yeah, up here where I'm at, I've got as far as 2 meter, what I'm talking on now, got a, it's called a fire stick. I ordered it off of Amazon, $32, and I've got it up 15 feet in the air. I've got a 45-foot tower laying out here on the ground that I bought from a solid key. I've got a Cushcraft at A3S tri-bander beam, covers 10, 15, and 20, laying on the ground up there, disassembled. I've got a 20-meter double bazooka dipole out there to put up. I've got a 6-meter dipole out there to put up. I've got a 10 through 80-meter fan dipole out there to put up. And I'm up here on the lake, and I've got the trees and got the clearing to put them up. But when I broke my neck, I damaged a lot of nerves in my back, or my spine up there. And then when they operated, they put 6 plates, titanium plates in my neck, and they had to cut some nerves. And it didn't bother me that much after I went through rehab. And I've been having a lot of trouble with them, but my legs, I can't walk much. I went to the VA last month and went through therapy over there again, and the doctor told me, said, I'm going to take you off that walking cane. Man, I was tickled to death. I'll be a son of a gun. He came out there and brought me one of them walkers, going to put me on one of them. And I got home, put that thing on the front porch, and that's where it's set. And a few days later, there's a wheelchair, and it's in the living room. That's where it's set. I can still walk, get around. I can walk from my shack to the mailbox is about 50 feet. And walk back down here to the shack and with my cane, and by that time I've had it. My leg, I've been having trouble. It started in my left leg, but now it's going over in my right leg, and I know eventually I'm going to end up on that walker and eventually in the wheelchair. But I love CW. I got about 6 keys here. And I went up a Fletcher to a silent key sale. And I got one of them air launchers to shoot the antenna up the tree, a dipole. And it come with the instruction that it said if you pump it 20 times with a bicycle pump, it'll shoot that projectile out, which ain't nothing but 3/4 inch PVC with an end cap on it with a eye hook screwed in the end with a fishing line on it. It would shoot at 100 feet. I got out there the other day gonna put that tan dipole up. I pumped it 10 times and it went out of sight. It ran 200 feet off the reel, and I lost the projectile. It's got a red flag on it. It's way up the road somewhere in the trees, but I'm going to give them up. But John, get the antennas up. You don't have to have big, fancy antennas. C-wire, old antenna wire, that, and telephone wire. The two-power telephone wire, man. I used to work with telephone, and I've thrown thousands of feet of that stuff away. I wish I still had it. That makes great antennas. Any kind of wire. I have used 10 meters. Take a 10-foot extension cord, and they call it zip cord. Cut the ends off of it and unzip it down. Cut them 8 foot, 6 inches long, and tie one end to your coax and the other end to the other side of the shield on the coax. And I didn't have it hanging up 8 feet off the ground. And I worked the world on 10 meters in that thing, Johnny. And I have to take my medicine, and I done took 100 milligrams amitriptyline. And I'm going to have to call my daughter and tell her I'm fixing to leave the shack and head up there and go to bed. It's been really nice talking to you and the dentist that I was talking to a while ago. So I'm going to say 7-3, John, and glad to be your... I call you John. Is that all right? But it's been really nice talking to you and being your first contact. KO4TJQ, K4OIM. I'll stick around for you, final Johnny, and I'm going to say 7-3s.